Well, we couldn't praise Him enough in this life, but we're going to have eternity forever to praise God and enjoy however heaven's going to be. So thank God this morning for His love to you and His love to me and all the things that He has afforded us in this life. And I'm glad the Lord has given us the possibility of a new life. And the possibility and the right and the privilege to do the right thing, to act right, to do the works of the Lord. I'm glad this morning God's afforded us a new birth whereby old things can pass away. Behold, all things become new. I'm glad for the opportunity to serve the Lord, that God has made it available, that impossible, that your service and my service can be accepted by Him as righteous acts and righteous deeds and conforming to Him. Over the last two Sundays that we were here, the Lord gave us a couple of messages on righteousness. And I want to continue with some thoughts on that. And it's working the righteousness of God is what I want to speak about and think about today. We need to understand that Christianity is not a philosophy. It's not a mental arena that we go into and meditate and then come out of that and go back into the real world. Christianity is a mode of living. It is a real place. It is a city. Place to live in. It's a place of animation. It's a place of life. It's a way of conduct. Christianity can be described as having a conduct, having a mode of living. And all through the annals of Christian history, you can read, and that form of living has been rather universal. And it has this in its precepts, and it's this is something that you'll find in every generation, is a conformity to God and to conformity to the Word of God and to Jesus Christ. Christian, probably by definition, is follower. And you and me, Christians today, this is not just a Sunday religion. It's not just a philosophy that I said earlier we meditate on and then leave that meditation and go into our regular living. Christianity is a means that produces. It has goals. Christianity has a product. Christianity has a constitution, if you will, a way to live. And we want to speak about today, working today in our life, the righteousness of God. Faith, grace, and works seem, as Brother Charles had told us in the last night of the meeting here, sometimes they can be in conflict with one another, seemingly. But in reality, they're not. Once a man or woman has been born again, they've been translated out of one kingdom. Paul said it was a dark kingdom. And has been translated into the kingdom of God's dear Son. So the kingdom has a ruler. The kingdom has a law. The kingdom has a mode of living and expectations. And God wants us to fulfill that. And it's not wrong to think of works. Or it's not an error to think that righteousness has its result in us in righteous works. Works is a very broad-based term. It's not just limited to one or two things. But Christians' work is to do with the way they live, the way they conduct themselves, the way they treat themselves and the way they treat other people, how they treat their husband or their wife. It has to do with the integrity of the person. with the integrity of the work. It has to do with a humility and a worship and an appreciation of God. It touches the way we speak and the words that we use. It attitudes of the heart. That's all has to do with working the works of righteousness. It touches us in that it teaches us that one of our obligations is not to conform to the world. Not to be as the world in their vain, own pressing desire for some type of fulfillment. The works of righteousness are centered in the divine and in the divine law. Listen to what Jesus said about our works. Matthew 5:15-16. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Now, the 16th is where I want to really go to, but think about this. Why put a light and light it? Turn a flashlight on, flip on a light, flashlight say, and then immediately put a box over it. It's not the light from the battery that powers the bulb meant to give direction and have an effect. Well, sure it is. Salvation is meant to affect us and affect us. It is meant to produce. It is meant to change. It is meant to have a product. Then he said, let your light so shine before men. On display. And we're going to read a scripture about adorning later, perhaps. Let your light be on display. Let that light be evident. Let the effects of Christianity and righteousness be on display. Let the product of Jesus Christ in your life, the reigning of Christ in our heart, in our mind, be publicly on display by what? That they may see your good works, your deeds, your actions, your manner of living, the conduct of your lips, the way you conform to the divine precepts of the Holy Word and the Spirit of God, that men may see the change, the reformation, the turning around, the translation, that people may actually see displayed your works, your righteous works, your kindness, your generosity, your holiness, God's holiness, your love, your forgiveness, the turning of the other cheek, the Sermon on the Mount lived out, that men may see, displayed out of your life and my life, our good works, our obedience, and give glory to the one who produced it. And give glory to God. Give glory to Him who made it possible to have righteous works. Works that reflect the divine authority in our life, if I may say it that way. I want to read again to you the definition of righteousness. That I like this one. I found it pretty easily for me to understand anyway. And written before the turn of the 1900s, I think. Purity of heart and rectitude of life. Conformity of heart and life to the divine law. Righteousness as used in Scripture and theology is, in which it is chiefly used, is nearly equivalent to holiness. It means to comprehend holy principles and affections of heart, and again, conformity of life to the divine law. It includes all we call justice, honesty, virtue, with holy affections. In short, it is true religion, righteousness. And today we're speaking about works that God called good, it's called righteous, and it is a product of the life, the dictionary said, conformity of life and heart to the divine law. That is the very principle on which you and me have to find the foundation of working the righteous works of God, is a conformity to God with our life and our mind and with our spirit. We are a light not to be put under a bushel. You know this. We are to have a transformed life. We're to have a new battery, a new source of life in us that produces not tainted light, not misguided light, but light that is in conformity, actions and deeds and words that are in conformity to the divine law, lived out, adorned, made beautiful, on display, people seeing it, witnessing it, and giving glory back to our Holy Father. Jesus said, and this is critical, and I'm not going to stay long here, to work in the works of righteousness. He told you and me that we must be born again. This is not a fleshly righteousness. This is not keeping a set of commands per se that produces righteousness, and we'll try to explain that too. Paul said that we put off the old man, and that we put on the new man, which is renewed in the likeness of Christ. So this new life, this works of righteousness, we'll find is really not a result of human abilities or talents at all, but it is a product of Christ within. It is a product of a new birth, coming out of one place and being translated into a new man, to a new place, having a new king and a new authority, a new affection and a new love, a new hope and a new desire. And just like the old man had those things too, and it produced the works of the flesh, now by having that desire and that man renewed after the likeness of Christ, it's going to produce that which its source is, and that's Jesus Christ. So then our righteous works, and we'll use that word, are not a product of man or glory to man, but it is a glory to the King who has been enthroned in our heart. It is a glory to the plan of salvation. It is a glory to the work of the cross and the blood of the cross. It tells us that there was an effect worked in man at the cross, that the blood of Jesus truly can cleanse from that old man and make a new man. It tells us that the only way it could happen is through the blood of the righteous blood of Jesus Christ. Paul said in Romans 6 that we're to walk in newness of life, not to live in sin any longer. Sin has works. The flesh has works. And Paul said, how are we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So he said, walk in newness of life. This morning, if you're saved, the command is to walk in newness of life. It's presented to us this morning, if you're not saved, with this hope and this expectation that once we are saved, that we walk in a new manner. That our works, the fruit of our life, become righteous and divine and holy. Jesus said in the 15th chapter of John, that we bear much fruit. Bear much fruit. Why? That His Father, our Father in heaven, might be glorified. These are some thoughts to show us, or hopefully show myself even, that Christianity has a mode of living, has expectations. God Himself has told us. You read the Bible from the Sermon on the Mount on, especially. And it talks about how Christians ought to live. It talks about their obedience, their submission. It speaks about their love and their affections being centered on God above. It speaks about our interactions with one another, forgiving one another, bearing with one another, helping one another, serving one another. The works of righteousness are fully explained in the Word of God, that that is God's plan for us. Not just to say, well, I'm saved, or I believe that I'm righteous now because of the blood, but yet continue in the old life. Salvation transforms, makes new. The fruits of salvation become clean and pure and holy. We have pleasure now in holiness and find no pleasure in those things that we once did. Over in Philippians, the first chapter, in the 27th verse. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Now this word conversation we know means conduct, the mode of living. Your words, your actions, your deeds, your work, the fruit, the product of your life as a Christian. Let it be that that becomes or is adorning or beautifies or makes attractive and brings positive attention to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's more than just faith. It's more than just words. It's more than just believing. Folks, it's action also. It is a demonstration. Paul said, and the life that I now live, talking about this new, transformed, wonderful transition, translation into the kingdom of light. New life, the life that I now live. We live it to the glory and to the honor, and it produces fruit to the glory and honor of God. So Paul said, be careful, Christians. Be aware, Christians, that your life is to become or to beautify, make attractive and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how do we do that? By saying I'm saved? Well, yes. But it's by the life we live. It's by the transformed man, the translated woman. It's by the new creature that we marvel at. We stand in awe. And what happened on Calvary, and they said of Paul, they heard that, isn't he the one? We've heard he was the one. But he got saved, and now they rejoiced in Paul, or Saul still at that time. He had persecuted it in this way. But something changed, and Paul's works changed. His mind changed, his heart changed, his hands changed. He went to Damascus, but he didn't go to hurt and to kill and breathing out fire and all of that. No, he went and he received the Holy Ghost, and he got a commission from the Lord. And the very one that was trying to destroy the Christian way, his works changed, and he went out and began to preach this way. Yes, salvation is meant to transform us. Not just here, but our whole being. Revelation speaks about the patience of the saints that kept the commissions, Revelation's 14th chapter, and it speaks about their works, the things they did in life, the things that they accomplished for God. They follow them. You read in the Scriptures and you'll find over in Hebrews 6 and 10, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. God is looking. God has taken note. God is aware of our actions, and it matters to God. This old sin you must, sin you can't help it, sin you will, of a life that's not any different overall than a sinful life, except one is, I now confess Jesus. That is of the devil. It's wrong. The Lord is looking at our life to see what kind of fruit we have, what kind of works we have. How do we treat one another? Do we do the honest thing? Are we honest in life? Do we love? Do we have a heart of charity to those who need help physically, financially, mentally, whatever? God is looking down on us to see if we're going about doing good. He did. That's what he did. He went about doing good. The King has come to reign in our hearts. The King has come to lead us into all truth. The King has said, I am the way, I am the life, I am the truth, the way, the life. I am the way, I'm the direction. Don't you know today he's looking down and taking note of our conduct, of our actions, and of our works? He said he's taking note of them. He's not going to forget them. Another place, Paul said, and everyone will give an account of what? The deeds done in this body, depending on where they are, whether they're good or bad. Our actions, folks, are very important to Christianity. And we can't separate them. And our acts, our deeds, are to be in conformity to the divine. And the divine is holy. The divine is righteous. You think about the brother Paul. Never in Christian literature, Bible, do we find anyone preaching and teaching salvation by grace and by faith more than Paul. He stood against righteousness of any kind in the flesh. He stood against righteous acts producing salvation. He taught and taught and exhorted the Galatians. He said, you're going back to the weak and the beggarly element. So we know Paul never put works ahead of the cross, ahead of faith, or ahead of grace. I'm saying that because I want to stay with works. But Paul said this in Ephesians 2 and 4 through 9. You can read this. For grace, or by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Grace and faith and the blood and believing. It is a gift from God and not of ourselves. We don't want to equate righteous acts as producing salvation. But we can say it another way. Salvation produces righteous works. Righteous works can never atone. Doing good and turning the other cheek. He said, if I have not charity, I don't have anything. Though I give my body to be burned. Righteous works will not affect salvation in the sense of causing you and me to be saved. But salvation will produce righteous works. He said, it's not of works there in Ephesians 2 again. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If you read the Bible, and I know we do, and we've read some this morning, righteousness and fruit of the Spirit and good works are to glorify God. Never to glorify man. The lady who put in the two mites made no show whatsoever. And that's the one that got the Lord's attention. The others put in of their abundance. They had it to spare. The lady put in all she had, and the Lord stopped and said, did you see that? Not of works, not of any intent of our heart that we can boast about. Paul and those apostles were very careful when men would worship them No, don't do it. They'd rent their clothes a time or two. We're men like you are. There's nothing, no flesh can ever say, look what I did. And now I'm in heaven because of that. In Titus 3 and 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy. So I don't want us to get in any thought today. And we put the cart ahead of the horse. That righteousness produces salvation, but salvation produces righteousness. Salvation produces righteous works. Salvation produces conformity to the Word and the life of Jesus Christ. Salvation produces fruit and labors and works and a new creature. It gives us a new attitude. It produces all things new. Now, go with me to Ephesians, the second chapter. With that said, about I felt it was necessary to try to balance this out. Because we know what Paul has said. Now let's listen to some more things that Paul said. Ephesians 2 and 10. This is after speaking of grace, I believe. For we are His workmanship. Now, stop here a moment. This pulpit was made by some men here in the congregation. It's their workmanship. And if you like it, tell them. Don't tell the pulpit. This is the workmanship of someone. The Christian is a product of the workmanship of God, not of man, okay? Created in Christ Jesus under good works. Paul, who emphasized salvation by grace and by faith, and told the Galatians, you're returning to the works of the flesh to justify you, you've fallen from grace. But He told you and me in the Ephesian letter, and Jesus told us that we've already read, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have been born again in part, if not 100%, to glorify God through our life we live. Now we can call that works. By the deeds and the actions and the attitude and the temperament of our life, about how we respond to persecution and temptations and irritations, how we respond to frustrations, how we respond to the light of the world and the glamour of the world, how we do not conform to the mentality of the fleshly life. Paul said that we were created anew and afresh in Christ, His workmanship, under good works, which God hath before commissioned, ordained, prepared, planned, that we should walk in them. God expects us to walk in a good light. God expects us to be righteous. Surely it's not of us. We know that. I think we can all stipulate that. We don't want to have to be redundant and keep qualifying that. The righteousness is of God. Amen. But God expects us to keep that, to do that. We call it holiness. But folks, it's living the Christian life, doing good, turning the other cheek. Not going out and getting divorces, living in fornication. God expects us to live the right kind of life. A husband and wife, faithful and true to one another. Not provoking our children to anger. Doing the right way, the right place, in the right manner. We, not to be seen of men, but to glorify God. to be accepted in the beloved. So, works, righteousness, the works of righteousness. God designed a pattern for us. And it's Christ. And he laid it out very clearly and implanted it in our heart. The Sermon on the Mount, if you read that, it's how to live. It's how to conduct ourselves. It's how to behave ourselves. It's the manner of our life. It's to obey. And its intent was to let us know, this is what I want you to conform to. Jesus did what he taught. I want us to go to Titus now. And maybe stay here for the good little remainder of the message, probably. In Titus, the second chapter. And 11 through 14. Paul mentions grace here. The favor of God that appeared to us, that bringeth salvation, hath appeared to all men. And it also teaches us. Well, what is the purpose of teaching? Is it to just fling out information in the air and then walk off? No. Teaching is meant to enlighten and to be received and to cause a product to come out of it. Teaching children to walk, to tie their shoe. Teaching little children how to add one and one. Teaching us. Salvation came to teach us how to live, how to conduct ourselves. And you read Titus in other places, it's very, you know, the Bible goes into just everyday living for us. To deny ungodliness. See, that's works, folks. That's works. That's action. That's doing something. And the worldly lust that, wow, have we, America ever, you know, World War II, I got in on the stories of World War II. I was born the year it ended. But I was raised in an atmosphere of a lot of talk about World War II. We were consumed with World War II and the victory. This world is consumed with worldly lust and ungodliness today. We cannot enter into that. That's works. You see what I'm saying? And that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. You see, grace came to save us. Grace came to teach us how to live. Grace came to spread the unmerited mercy and favor of God on us that we can be saved. Provide a sacrifice to be saved. But it also came to teach us how to live. How to conduct ourselves. There are times that our feelings run so high on a subject, God says, deny that. Turn away from that. If you follow that feeling and that emotion, it'll not work my word. You get away from that and put it to death. Teaches us how to deny ourselves. Say no to the lust or the impulse of the flesh. Today in this world. May the Lord help us this morning. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us for a purpose, it now says, that he might redeem us from all iniquity or sin and wrong and purify unto himself a peculiar people, set aside, wash, cleanse, change, mold, shape, reserve for him alone. Purposely doing that. Men and women that are zealous, eager, happy, enjoying good works. Actions, thoughts, deeds, manner of living, the way we dress. Oh, it's everything, folks. It's everything. And he said, these things speak and exhort. Lord, help us today. When you think about works, I believe we read this morning in class and Bible talks about, it's taken note that these unlearned, uneducated men had been with Christ. The message is still the same today. Our works. Now, I don't want to qualify their statement, and if it goes against what you think, I'm willing to discuss that with you. Our works, our righteous works, are proof that we've been with Christ. They are the display. They are the evidence. Jesus said men will see that and glorify God. I don't want to have us thinking now we just have good works and keep it in perspective. Help me say it right, Lord. But you want people to know you've been with Jesus. I want people to know I've been with Jesus. I've got to show Jesus. And I've got to work the works of Jesus. I've got to conform to the works of Christ in the manner of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Titus 2, 1 through 10. We won't read all this. He's talking about living, talking about holiness and how we ought to live with each other and young men and the women and first chapter of the men, the ministry, the eldership. In 2 and 7, he said, in all things showing thyself a pattern of good works. Paul said something to the effect, follow me only. I'm using the word only, as I follow Christ. Don't be ashamed for your child to follow you in working the good works of Christ. Then in the 10th verse, as you read that, it talks about servants in the 9th verse. How should a servant conduct himself? Folks, he's talking about slavery here. Now, that's foreign to us, and we don't like the idea. But did you know God touches and has expectations for a slave? Onesimus, he got under the yoke and wanted to do different things, and he fled from Philemon, went to Paul, and Paul said, well, I'm glad you're here, but you can't stay. What? Philemon did me wrong or hurt my feelings or, well, I want you to stay, so I'm going to write a letter. Take it back. And if Philemon receives it, come on back. If he doesn't, you stay right there. You see what I'm saying? Salvation touches every aspect of living. Even to a slave having to go against what he might have felt in the flesh. But he didn't let Philemon off the hook. He said, you receive him as a brother. You owe me, Philemon, and don't you forget it. I'm not going to bring it up to you, but don't you forget it. That you owe me your own soul. Receive him as me. And Philemon, if he's done anything and owes you anything, you put that to my charge, I'll pay you back. Christian living, see. The Good Samaritan, Christianity probably had not become a word yet. But that was Christian living, the Good Samaritan. Had no obligations as far as the rules of society went, but to the society of Christ, God saw that. And it was righteous and accepted of God. Then he said here in the 10th verse, 2 and 10, not purloining. This is again how to live, teaching us life. But showing good fidelity that they may adorn the doctrines of Christ. doctrines of God, our Savior, in all things. In everything, we are to beautify the gospel. We are to adorn it, or you might think, put it on. Here it means more in the context of becoming, making attractive, showing the plus, showing the pluses, showing the joy that Brother Jerry spoke about, showing the beauty, the graciousness, the hope, displaying the character of Christ Himself. And Paul was saying, you remind them to adorn this thing. Make it a way of life. In Titus 1 and 15, a little on the opposite side now, unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their minds and conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God. Now, stop a minute. Does this sound a little familiar? They profess that they know God. But in works, they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient unto every good work, reprobate or lacking judgment. They profess they know God, but their works deny Him. Do we see this morning? Working the righteousness of God is so necessary that if you and me do not conform to Christ, Christianity as such, the gospel of Christ, we do Him and the gospel and the cause a disservice when we say, I am a Christian. I have been born again. We do the very truth a disservice by saying that if we, by our works, deny the very power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our works are important. If we give our word and then can't keep it and then say, I'm a Christian, we are hurting the cause of Christ. If we profess to love and don't show love, we are doing a disservice, and our works deny our profession, and they deny the very testimony in Jesus Christ Himself. 3 and 8 of Titus. This is a faithful saying. 3 and 8. And these things I will that thou affirm constantly. Now, I want to back up just a moment. This is Paul who teaches salvation by grace and by faith only. But Paul did not object to preaching good works, right living, and conformity to the Scriptures of the Father. I will that thou affirm constantly that they which believe, been born again, translated, that believe in God, might be careful, cautious, aware. What? Good actions, good deeds, and good works. O saints, we're called to let our light shine. And our light has to be way more than just our testimony. The life that we now live, the actions that we produce, where I go, how I dress, what I think, how I treat you, how I treat my wife, it all speaks volumes. And Paul wrote to Titus, and he said, there are people who have become reprobate under the understanding of this. They're void of judgment and understanding. That those who have been born of God are to produce the fruit of God. The actions and their deeds are to be noteworthy and adorn the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, folks, where did I read this? No, the news. I read a news article. man up in Oregon. I don't think my wife read this yet. He's got this real vehement desire to float 200 and something miles from Oregon to Idaho. And the way he's going to do it, this story will sound a little familiar, probably. He's got him this 200-pound lawn chair and a little stuff around him. And I've forgotten now. X number, and I mean it's a humongous number, of party balloons, kind you can buy at the party stores, filled with helium. And he had his little crew down there, and he got $8,000 worth of helium in this thing. So it's a fair amount of balloons. Just stacked all together and held in a little. He's got an air rifle and a poker to poke him when he gets ready to come down. And he's tried twice, and he's on his third trip now, getting ready to. He wants to float from Oregon over into a certain place in Idaho. And his wife said something to the effect, you know, living with him is never a dull moment. I want to tell you something. Living for Christ is not to be dull. Not meant to be dull. It is meant to be a very wonderful experience. It is meant to be something that you and me become captivated about. This has become an obsession with this man. I hope he makes it. He said if I didn't have all this stuff, I'd fly up to 30,000 feet with all these balloons. So he's got Kool-Aid for ballast, so when he pours it out, it'll look more dramatic and all. It's just rather humorous. But the thing about it is, it's an adventure. And he's enjoying every minute of it. Folks, we ought to enjoy every minute of living for the Lord. To say that I am pleasing to God is a lot better than floating 250 miles, I say, in a balloon. Thought about it, for some that would be exhilarating. To me, it'd be terrifying, and I wouldn't do it. But living for Christ is to be the most wonderful thing. And we need to display that through our works. And we can do that by having Christ on the inside. Brother James, Paul said, let's be faithful to maintain good works. James said it this way, for the body without the spirit is dead, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. We have a New English Bible at home, and it's written in paragraph form instead of verse form. Another translation, I don't necessarily recommend it, but it's pretty accurate. And here's the way they quote James. Faith without works is lifeless as a corpse. Well, I thought that painted a little different dimension. Karen read that to me the other night. She didn't know it, but it just fit right in with what I was thinking. Faith without works is lifeless as a corpse. We don't want to be a corpse, do we? We want to be alive unto God. So works of righteousness. Don't be afraid to say works of righteousness. It's biblical. Bringing forth fruit to the glory of God is not something we have to be ashamed of. Then Paul ends this morning in Romans 8, 2. 8 and 3. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Paul had just told us that before he was converted, there was things he knew he ought to do, but he couldn't do. He said, there was things I knew I shouldn't do, and I did do. He said, who's going to help me out of this predicament I'm in? He said, I thank God. God through Christ did it. And he said, now, Here's the point. Take with you, and don't be ashamed of it, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. May God help us today that we endeavor to maintain good works. Pray for me.